Well, I'm joined in the studio by two people who are very much involved in the new music community. That is Jamie Lee Sampson and Andrew Martin Smith. It's okay for me to say that you're a married couple, right?
Yeah.
It's perfectly yes. fine.
Okay, well, welcome to the two of you. We have a really exciting project to talk about. This is in conjunction with your Adjective New Music that you founded back in 2010. I wonder if we could start by talking a little bit about this collective and what it is that you do, and then we're going to get into this program that is happening at the Peristyle with the Toledo Symphony. Jamie, you want to take the lead on this?
Absolutely. So Adjective is a little bit strange in that we do a lot of things. We sell scores online. When we were based in Toledo, we ran a music lesson program for clarinetists, bassoonists, composers. We ran a concert series for a couple of years, mostly in churches around Toledo. And then we moved to a small town in western New York, and life changed drastically. There wasn't a demand for what we had been doing, and we were really missing the community of new music people we had met here and through our alma mater, Bowling Green State University. And so we had to pivot and really figure out what to do next. And as composers and artists, it's really exhausting to consistently promote your own stuff. It really is.
Like, you kind of have to do that, though.
It's true.
You have to.
But you know what's a lot more fun is if get asked for, you know, a bass clarinet solo piece, and I don't have one. Instead of saying, hey, pay me to write one over and over and over again, I say, you know what, but my friend Alex probably has one. Let me just check our catalog. Mm. And so we formed this community of composers who co-promote regularly. And we have the ability to turn to one of our other colleagues in the collective and say, hey, do you have a minute to talk to my class about your expertise? Hey, can you listen to my score? Because I think there's a weakness in it, and I can't tell what it is because I have been staring at this file and I've been listening to this music for months, and something is off about the pacing. Mm-hmm. And so we formed this community really like to co-promote one another's works, but in the end, we ended up creating a really healthy balance of you know, feedback for one another as well. And so that's kind of what the Composers Collective is about.
Andrew, you're a clarinetist, and Jamie, you're a bassoonist.
Yeah.
So you,
yes.
I was both actually growing up.
Really?
So
no way.
This is the perfect combination here. What has your experience been with Adjective New Music, Andrew?
So it's interesting that you bring up the performing side of things too, because when we did run the concert series, I had an opportunity to help Jamie curate the pieces that we played, and we often did not only our own works but played several pieces by colleagues and friends from various institutions. When Milton Babbitt had passed away, we got a collection of little miniatures in honor of him to celebrate, and we did it for
a
trio.
About
yeah,
that.
We had a trio. Get this, it was called Adverb. Yeah, we got a thing going on. It was for
Adjective Adverb.
Right. We just need a noun somewhere.
Yeah. Well, we had a podcast called Lexical Tones.
We did.
We had 200 episodes, and we've taken a little break, but yeah, we're nerds.
So the trio was for oboe, clarinet, and bassoon, you know, the standard reed trio. And so getting a chance to actually perform a lot of contemporary music and be involved in the new music community at so many levels is something that I've really enjoyed.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this program that's happening with the Toledo Symphony. Now, this is Friday, March 22nd, 8 p.m. at the Toledo Museum of Art Peristyle. You can find more information at ToledoSymphony.com, or you can call the box office at 419-246-8000. I want to mention Toledo Symphony is a sponsor of programs on FM 91. Okay, let me turn it over to you guys. Tell me what's happening tomorrow. It's the planets, right?
It is the planets, as you have definitely not heard them before, and
as you have heard
them before. So I want to give you guys the inside scoop, because I find the way that this collaboration happened just fantastic. So Merwin Sue, who's a regular around here, gave me a call January 10th of 2023, and he said, I have this wild idea. We are going to be celebrating the totality solar eclipse coming up on April 8th, 2024, and we want to do a program obviously that has the Holst. I was like, yeah, okay. I've seen a bunch of other programs, right, around the country. A lot of people are doing the Holst in celebration of this great American eclipse. North American eclipse. Apologies. And Merwin said, but we want to go a step further, and we want to commission 9 new planets based on the scientific properties, because Holst really focused on the mythological and
the astrological.
And we want to work with 9 composers to create a new set of planets. And, you know, as with any creative who's being presented with a big opportunity, I'm prepared to shout yes into the phone, right? And I took a big, deep breath in, and I went, my phone hung up on him.
Oh, no.
It totally dropped the call.
I was brand new in Traverse City. I was a long-term substitute at Interlochen Arts Academy, and I was staying in the guest suite of a friend's house, and I was in the basement.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so I had no cell service. I nearly ran out into the backyard in my socks to call him back and say yes. But luckily,
opportunity came a knocking and you slammed the door in its face.
Yeah. But well, luckily it's Merwin.
did he keep talking thinking you were on the line still?
No, he knew it had disconnected. It gave him a very polite little beep that I had hung up on him. But we were able to talk very soon afterwards, and we created this beautiful partnership between the University of Toledo Department of Physics and Astronomy, which I have said correctly a grand total of 3 times, and Adjective New Music and TAPA. And so we got started on this, and part of the reason they came to Adjective is because of our Composers Collective, because we have this pre-built-in community, because negotiating with 9 different composers and having them all turn in pieces on deadline would have been a feat that's not entirely possible unless they're already a close community.
This is actually something that ties very closely with the eclipse, because the eclipse in totality is something that is often a once-in-a-lifetime event, at least for specific locations around the planet, right? And so getting 9 new pieces all at the same time on a program in response to a major work. This is also kind of a once-in-a-lifetime thing. At least I doubt I'll be asked to do something like this again.
Yeah.
So there are 9 composers. You're each assigned a planet.
Yes.
And you guys, it's interesting because you have the largest planet, the gassy giant in Jupiter. That's yours, Jamie.
Yep.
And you have the smallest planet, if you can call it a planet.
Exactly.
That would be Pluto, the outcast. Mm-hmm. And that's your job, Andrew. Now, I wonder if you can talk about your own personal experience creating this music for Toledo Symphony. Jamie, let's start with Jupiter.
Absolutely. I have always felt a draw to Jupiter. So when we got asked to do this project, my gut instinct was to write the movement for Jupiter. And obviously, we had a process by which we selected them.
Mm.
And we all kind of had input on what our first choice would be and all those things. But I felt it was really characteristic of my role as the person who managed the 9 composers and getting them to turn in scores early. I only did that by
lying to us about the deadline.
Lying to all of my closest colleagues about the actual deadline. No one knew when it was, not even Andrew.
Yeah.
Wow. And we were able to turn the score and parts in 2 days early. And I feel like the role of Jupiter in our system is it's the second largest mass. It has such an impact on everybody, and watching it manage its moons felt a lot like what my role was going to be in this project. And so I stuck with Jupiter as my primary choice all through the process, and it turned out being exactly what I wanted. So I kind of wrote from the perspective of what would Voyager, the probe that we sent out in the 70s, what would Voyager experience as it passed out of the asteroid belt, came face to face with the planet Jupiter, and then moved on. And it's a very sentimental time for me because Voyager, as I was finishing the piece, has it stopped sending back messages altogether in December, which was when I was completing the piece.
Uh-huh.
And this week, as I was last week, as I was finishing up my program note, it did start responding, but it's only sending back very, very confused nonsense messages. And so I feel like this kinship with the probe that has given us so much information about Jupiter. So the opening of my piece starts with the rough and tumble, very dry, rocky aspect of the asteroid belt. And then we come face to face with Jupiter in a big brass announcement that it has arrived. And then I explore some of the colors of the orchestra, very slow-moving color exploration to kind of depict all of the storms, which we, you know, when I was in elementary school, I did not know the color variety to the storms.
Yeah.
Now we're getting these beautiful pictures of the blue storms at the poles. And of course, we still have the red storm that is, it is a major feature. And then I go into a little bit of the scientific, the big major chorale towards the end, and I depict some what's called orbital resonance, which is one of the scientific terms that was most musical to me. But it's a perfect mathematical relationship between two of the moons.
Now, we should mention this is a multimedia experience, right? Isn't there like some projections going on?
The second half of the program with Holst planets, yes, there's going to be a multimedia experience of translating scientific data into imagery.
Sounds interesting.
Oh yeah.
So what does this say about you two, that you have Jupiter, the ruler of the other planets, and you have Pluto, Andrew? You're like not necessarily even a planet, according to some folks.
It's totally true. I think it's on brand, if I can say, for the contrast, not only in the way we our music's sound, but also in how we approach the musical process. We just recently had an opportunity to give a presentation along with one of NASA's solar system ambassadors at the Imagination Station. And what struck me about it is Jamie and I have been talking about this piece for a year, and I didn't really have a strong insight into how she was truly working on the piece, and she didn't really have a strong insight as to how I was truly working on the piece. I came at it from a very mathematical perspective, and she came at it from this emotional journey kind of perspective. And in the end, we get these really cool sounding works, but we started at opposite ends. So it was kind of very telling that we had these very opposite type planets.
Yeah. Do you know that Gustav Holst was actually still alive, I think, when they discovered Pluto, but he declined to,
to add an extra
maybe, movement?
Although maybe people tried, right? I'm pretty sure there were a couple of attempts to add, you know.
Maybe he thought the jury was still out on whether it would be a planet.
He had insight information.
Well, he was right eventually. I mean, because it was declared
a dwarf planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we did discuss that in early creative meetings. You know, should we have 8 movements or should we have 9? And what we ultimately came up with, because Adjective New Music, our composers collective, has 19 composers. And so we were not able to include everyone. So ultimately what we decided was, let's do Pluto. Mm-hmm. Let's have this 9th entity, which leaves the door open for us to work with other creative partners in the future. And we do already have another performance partner, another orchestra that is going to be working with us on future sets. And so they're going to be doing some of the moons, I think, of Jupiter. And then we have some other chamber groups that are interested in doing
different kind of comets or asteroids or these other celestial kind of bodies.
And so this has turned into not just a creative work for one orchestra, but this is going to go above and beyond, and really all of it approaching from a scientific perspective. Alain, his primary charge to us when we started this project was, I want this concert to teach us something about the science of the planets. And so I think we've arrived there.
Well, it's certainly a subject that can be mined, you know, to no end, because you've got the planets, you've got the moons, you've got whatever celestial bodies you can think of.
And they keep finding exoplanets more and more, right, every day,
So talk a little bit about your approach. You've said that you created Pluto from a mathematical perspective. I wonder if you can talk about how that translates into actual music for us.
Yeah, this is great. And this is something that comes up a lot with composers. How do composers take non-musical inspiration and translate it into musical expression? And I'm kind of stealing several things from other composers, you know, with all of those ciphers that they do, like the Bach motive, the B-A-C-H that happens, right? I decided to take a similar approach and use the discovery dates of each of the bodies in the binary system that is the Pluto-Charon system. Because this is one of the things, by 2015, we discovered, oh, it's not just Pluto and its moon that's roughly the same size as it.
Yeah.
There are four other objects orbiting these two in this really kind of quirky dance. So I thought, this is perfect. My movement is supposed to depict the smallest of the dwarf planets in our system here. So it's going to be the shortest. It comes in at around 3 minutes and 30 seconds. And with all of these objects orbiting it in this very interesting celestial dance, I thought this is going to be a perfect opportunity for a little quick scherzo. The whole orchestra never really plays together. It's like large chamber music with all of the different components swirling around each other. So that's kind of where I started. I got all of my pitch information from the numbers translated into pitch of their discovery dates. And then the way they orbit around each other is nearly resonant. It's approximately, for every one time Pluto and Charon kind of pivot around their barycenter, the remaining four moons rotate three times, or orbit three times, four times, five times, and six times. So those proportions govern when their little motivic ideas and when their pitch material, their harmonies kind of come to the foreground of the piece.
You know, it's a fascinating idea. We'll just sit back and enjoy the music. Right?
That sounds like a perfect plan. Because honestly, what is that for? In the end, it's for me, right? It's for me to help sculpt this. I treat music composition kind of like sculpture.
Yeah. Well, you're not alone in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, many composers have sort of like a framework or a lattice work that they create. First of all, you know, as an exercise, and then they put the music onto it.
Exactly.
I wonder if the two of you can talk about your composing process. I know that you're busy with a lot of other things, but when you're both composing something at the same time, I mean, do you go like to opposite ends of the house, or how does that work?
How long do you have in
you
this
remember
program?
That 3 months we tried to share an office?
We attempted to share an office once in our life. That was a large mistake. And
he whistles. It was terrible.
So I sound very erudite and analytical and mathematical. I cannot sit still when I'm creating music. I have to get up. I have to move around. Apparently, I make a whole lot of noise. So your idea of going to opposite ends of the house, usually I have to be in a separate place entirely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You agree
luckily
with that?
You have a campus office now.
I do.
And you know, really early in the pandemic, one of our biggest
challenges.
Troubles, yes, was that I always need a piano around, if for no other reason than I like to test voicings of harmonies. I like to experiment with, what if I make this pitch a stronger focus than this one? Can I make them shift? I really need a piano, and I also like to play inside the piano, plunking and
so we're talking a grand piano
we rent a house that would not be suitable for a grand piano.
We do have a fairly quirky upright piano.
So that's in the living room, which means that a lot of my composing time is now in the one of the most
communal
traversed areas of our house. But we also do a lot of work. Okay, so you asked about process.
Yeah.
My process, almost 80% of my process starts with some kind of text. Jupiter is rare for me in that I didn't have any poems to work from. I decided to, you know, entirely work from this idea of the journey of Voyager. But most of the time, I'm a very text-centric composer, even when the text doesn't end up in the piece. So, you know, we mentioned before we started recording that the last time you saw me was for the 419 Festival that Adjective did with Toledo Symphony in 2019. And I played a piece called Anyone Lived, my own piece, for clarinet, oboe, and bassoon. And that piece is based on the E.E. Cummings poem, Anyone Lived in a Pretty How Town.
Yeah.
And I used the rhythms, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da. You know, I really use the rhythm. I use the contour that my own speaking voice brings to that melodic line. And I didn't for Jupiter. So I had to start somewhere else. And I've been experimenting for the past, I think we're at 6 years now. Mm. I've been experimenting with new ways to look at and approach harmony. And so I really started with the large, heavy harmonic progression that's going to be the last two-ish minutes of my piece. And to create the scientific idea of orbital resonance, where there's a perfect mathematical relationship between the orbit of two different moons, So every time the inner moon goes around three times, the outer moon goes around twice, and they come back into perfect alignment. Now, if I were Brahms, easy peasy, I could do two against three rhythms
just
all day.
A little polyrhythm, yeah.
But I'm Jamie, and I wanted to approach it differently. So what I did was write one harmonic progression that plays back in two different split choruses of the orchestra. And they're playing back the same harmonic progression at two different rates. So if the clarinet 1 and oboe 1 have a quarter note, oboe 2, clarinet 2 have a dotted quarter note. So they've just stretched it a little bit. And I did split the winds exactly like that. I split the brass. And then I had a couple of instruments left over, like piccolo and tuba.
You kind of like have two different orchestras in that regard.
You
kind of split it down the center in that way.
I really did. And then I had some instruments that were just around to enhance the lighter sound, the higher lighter sound, and then the lower deeper sound. And, you know, contrabassoon and tuba were part of my enhancing instruments.
Yeah.
So they switch between the choirs to really help darken the progression when I need it to be, you know, the moon has come closer to us and I want it to be nice and dark, or the piccolo and the lighter instruments when it's further away. I actually had no idea how to depict orbits that are near and far. So I went to the art museum in October, the Toledo Art Museum, and I hung out with the Dutch masters and figured out that they painted everything with super dark foregrounds and really light backgrounds. And I was like, oh, I know. I remember the concept of receding grays from high school art class.
Yeah. See, it came in handy.
I am going to do this with my planets. And so as you're listening to the different choirs, the moon is getting further away. It's getting lighter. It's getting higher. And then as both moons come towards you, everything gets deep and dark and very intense.
Mm. It's so interesting to hear composers talk about their work and how they've created it, because there are always things that we miss, you know, with our ears just listening to it. So it's really interesting. Are you involved in a composer talk beforehand?
Yes. Actually, we figured out a way to get all nine of us there. It's going to start a little earlier than normal. I know everybody is used to composer talks, pre-concert talks being at 7 to get all nine of us in. We have to start at 6:30, so we hope you'll come a little bit early. We know we can't reach everyone with this message, but we will get all nine composers on stage.
Absolutely, and that is happening Friday, March 22nd. It's on Friday at 8 o'clock p.m. at the Toledo Museum of Art Paris Style. The pre-concert lecture you mentioned is at 6:30.
It's at 6:30, and it's also going to be on Saturday the 23rd.
It'll be on Saturday the 23rd. Yep. Oh, okay. And you can find more information about this project at ToledoSymphony.com. You can call the box office, 419-246-8000, and Toledo Symphony is a sponsor of programs on FM 91. Jamie Lee Sampson and Andrew Martin Smith, is there anything you want to say to listeners before they attend this program and hear the world premiere of your music?
I think thank you for so warmly welcoming us home. Toledo is a place we got to live. We were in Northwest Ohio for 8 years, and only 2 years of it was in Toledo, and it is still one of our favorite places to come home to.
Absolutely.
Yes, I definitely agree. And to be part of this once-in-a-lifetime endeavor and great project of such magnitude, I think it's just wonderful to come home and celebrate that.
Well, thanks to both of you for coming in and talking about it today. I really appreciate that. And it sounds like a fascinating project. And, you know, the sky's the limit as far as what you do with it.
Quite literally, yeah.
Yeah, people can keep up with all things Adjective New Music online. That is at adjectivenewmusic.com. Jamie Lee Sampson and Andrew Martin Smith, welcome back to Toledo, and we look forward to hearing your music on the program with the Toledo Symphony.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.